The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear we're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Lord, back, ladies and gentlemen, second hour of the National Intel Report. I am your host, John Stadtmiller. It is, folks, Tuesday, the 10th day of March, 2020. And yeah, we're going to have this guy back. That's for sure. By the way, posted up on our website, CDC, the private corporation for profit, and you heard him, they're going to get 300 more vaccines approved. So what do you think that's going to mean to you? You're going to be a human pincushion. The state is going to try to make you one anyhow. Well, Lou Rockwell had this story, Joe Martino, and thank you, Steve, for sending it over to me. CDC admits in federal court they have no evidence that vaccines don't cause autism. Now, you've heard the claims from the CDC. People have been all over that governmental agency, no, private corporation for profit, folks, just like the Fed Reserve, okay? You know, how many years has it been in your lexicon? Well, the Federal Reserve is a private company. Yeah. But how many of you did know that the CDC is the same way? These are corporations for profit working under the umbrella of the supposed federal government, which it ain't. It ain't federal. Okay. Let me just put it to you that way. Now, some people are, and the writer here puts a disclaimer right at the top. Some are struggling to grasp the point of this article. It's not a discussion of the difficulty of proving a negative. It's the fact that the CDC lied for years about something they claim they factually and scientifically knew when they didn't. Again, the CDC claimed the science was settled when in reality there was no science whatsoever. No science behind this. And that's the story. That's the storyline. And this is truly a bombshell story when you understand the full implications of it. Yet major media likely ain't going to touch it. Headlines could read, in stunning lawsuit, CDC admits they have no evidence vaccines don't cause autism. But instead, crickets, folks. And between the little cricket sounds, nothing. Silence from the mainstream media. People like ourselves, independent media organizations, are left to have to tell these stories, and at the same time risk more demonetization for telling the truth that the public should know. Of course, we also know that since independent media reach has been cut, getting stories like this out, it's very hard to do. And it relies on what? People like you. As of March 2nd of this year, the CDC has admitted in federal court that they do not have any evidence proving that vaccines given to babies don't cause autism. For years, they claimed that the studies had been done, the evidence was clear, and there was a consensus, vaccines don't cause autism. Yet that was what? A big, fat, egregious lie. An organization called the Informed Consent Action Network, ICANN, was instrumental in bringing forth this admission. And this is what they stated in their own press release. In summer of 2019, ICANN submitted a Freedom of Information Act, that's a FOIA request for you and I, to the CDC requesting all studies relied upon by CDC to claim that the DTaP vaccine does not cause autism. ICANN also submitted the same request for Hep B, HIV, PCV13, and IPV as well, requesting the CDC provide studies to support the cumulative exposure to these vaccines during the first 6 months of life do not cause autism. Despite months of demands, the CDC failed to produce a single specific study in response to these FOIA requests. ICANN was therefore forced to sue the CDC in a federal court, where the CDC finally conceded. In a stipulation signed by a federal court judge, that it has no studies to support that any of these vaccines do not cause autism. Now, in short, the CDC provided a list of studies that were to claim vaccines didn't cause autism. Only one problem. None of these studies proved that. Part of the list was a recent review by the Institute of Medicine, which was paid for by the CDC. This study performed a comprehensive review of studies relating to the DTaP vaccine. It was looking to determine whether or not the vaccine does or does not cause autism. The IOM was unable to identify a single study to support that the DTaP does not cause autism. What they did find was a single study that did show an association between DAP and autism. So for years, the CDC falsely claimed that vaccines don't cause autism. You know, this, you think about it here, folks. The Teflon people. Oh, this is perfectly safe. Hey, no problem at all. Except for one thing. They were poisoning people. Poisoning them. And these lifelong chemicals are in every single thing, in every mammal, every amphibian, every bee, every little fish in the ocean, everywhere. These forever chemicals has literally polluted the entire planet. And they do not go away. They are there for life. Just a little side note. So they're claiming vaccines don't cause autism. This was based on no evidence, no studies, no science, just speculation. In turn, those that question vaccines were called anti-vaxxers, unscientific, and extreme about their views. Yet, were they wrong to claim that vaccines may cause autism and that they don't feel they are safe? It doesn't seem to be the case when you consider that a look at the science and the evidence against suggests it's highly likely that vaccines do play a role in autism. This, as we now know, has been debunked. The detail of hits close to home for us here at the CE is that fact checkers have been handing out false claims about vaccine content, stating that vaccines don't cause autism. This has led to a reduction in our reach and our near complete destruction of our business due to the demonetization. Yet, where did these fact checkers get their information from? Yeah, the CDC. And now we know the CDC has never had the evidence to make the claims that they have made, and the fact checkers were in fact wrong or misinformed. Yeah. These false claims from the CDC have also effectively led to creating a culture of blind vaccine acceptance, even though there is no evidence they are safe. Now, the reason why I'm going through this, because think about this, and you're probably already ahead on it. You probably have got me by two steps. It's vaccinations and this madcap science that we're going to turn you into a human pincushion, not just for the coronavirus or their flu vaccines. It's for the rest of them as well. If we can grind these people and expose them for exactly what they are, opportunists that are literally out there killing people and claiming that they were really angels, can't you see our pretty little wings? Folks, now, this leads to the challenge. Not many are realizing about fact-checking organizations, like Snopes, for instance. or the ones that work on Facebook. What they do is turn to major organizations and the government to get their facts. That's why, let me stop and digress here again for a second. This is why you're starting to see a movement. Why do you think Mark Zuckerberg is going to the respective governments, the real sock puppets of the planet, you know, and part players to begin to get that seat at the table, as we talked about last hour? Guess what? Well, they are on the verge of exposure worldwide. There are already countries on this planet that are not injecting their people. There are countries on this planet that have rejected 5G. There are countries on this planet, folks, that they have listened to the sane ones, and they're not allowing these madcap people into their lives. So when Mark Zuckerberg says to the federal government, okay, well, what do you guys think? What do you want to see? Well, the government wants to be seen as, you know, we need people to believe in us because, after all, we are the government. We're the government, and we're here to help. Yeah, BS. You are. So there is a move to get rid of all of us out there. And I am still amazed that we are on the internet. And thank you, TalkStream Live, for carrying this program that many more people now have the ability to hear alongside of Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity and the Jewish fellow there from New York. You know the one I'm talking about? Yeah, that guy too. Pseudo-intellectual conservatives that know. And I have spoken to the people that sat down and had an in-depth conversation with Rush Limbaugh to tell him a lot of what you people already know. But yet, for the sake of, you know, why did he get that medal in Congress? Because he was dying of lung cancer? No, he was a conservative voice out there, but he only went so far, didn't he? That's why I made the joke last hour. Yeah, Rush Limbaugh, I'm taking over Rush Limbaugh's show, and give me that 600 radio stations out there. Holy mackerel, I'd rip them a new one that they'd never be able to sew up or bandage, trust me. But I digress. Now, this is leading to the challenge not many are realizing about fact-checking organizations like Snopes or the ones that work on Facebook, when they do, is turn to major organizations like the government to get their facts. And those facts overrule anything brought forth that challenges those facts. So essentially, fact checkers are merely purveyors of facts produced by whom? By the governments and the major corporations. Some happen to be paid by major corporations themselves. Not an accident. The most recent data from the CDC shows that 1 in 36 children born this year in the USA will develop autism. This is a true epidemic. If the CDC had spent the same resources studying vaccines and autism as it did waging a media campaign against parents that claim vaccines cause their child's autism, the world would be a better place for everyone. The CDC complains that those raising concerns about vaccine safety are unscientific and misinformed. But when we ask the CDC for studies to support its claim that vaccines don't cause the autism, it is clear that their claim is not grounded in science. That's Dale Bigtree, founder of ICANN, by the way. And by the way, those numbers are way low. It's not 1 in 36. You heard what Roger said, and we've repeated this before because, well, we weren't fact-checking on Snopes, that's for damn sure. We were doing our own research. Then in just a couple of years, ladies and gentlemen, 1 out of 2 children, 50% of the children in this country due to these vaccines to keep them safe, half the children born in 5 years are going to be subjected to autism through the needle of these wonderful little angels. See my wings? Aren't they nice? What did you expect? Evil to put on the devil's face and say, hey, I'm here to eat your lunch. No, they're going to show up and they're going to help you and they're going to smile and they're going to soothe you and tell you everything is going to be okay. Why do you think the CDC is getting patents for 300 additional vaccines? And why was it so important to have national health care? That's because they knew, damn, the architects of this whole thing knew damn right well that there was going to be severe health crises in this country in the very near future. We already have them, folks. But this is just the warm-up. This is just the warm-up. Now, there's an abundance of science showing that vaccines could be linked to autism in many different ways. Take aluminum, for example. A study published in 2018 discovered high amounts of aluminum in the brain tissue of people with autism. And this is backing up what Roger just said. Human exposure to aluminum has been implicated in ASD, with conclusions being equivocal. To date, the majority of studies have used hairs as their indicator of human exposure to aluminum, while aluminum in blood and urine have also been used to a much more limited extent. Pediatric vaccines that include an aluminum adjuvant are an indirect measure of infant exposure to aluminum, and their burgeoning use has been directly correlated with increasing prevalence of ASD. Animal models of ASD continue to support a connection with aluminum and to aluminum adjuvants used in human vaccinations in particular. And folks, all the allergies to peanuts, why do they, why? Well, because they were using peanut oil as an adjuvant. Hello? We got people going into convulsions and they were handing out bags of peanuts in airplanes and people are going into convulsions and nobody could figure out why. Well, now, well, I don't serve peanut allergies. Yeah, we got all these small redefined print of all the major food corporations now in this country. What's it going to tell you? People might be sensitive, you know, to eggs and dairy and, oh, that's right, peanuts too. Where the hell do you think that came from? Do we remember? Are you old enough to remember when Mr. Planters was your friend? Mm-hmm. The fact that aluminum is an adjuvant and in its form and does not exit the body. Here's the takeaway on all this. This is not the first time in history that major health organizations, scientists, and doctors claim that something was safe when it really wasn't. Look at cigarettes. Anybody out there? Remember the 50s and the 60s? Remember how they used to sell cigarettes? They'd bring licensed doctors on as in commercials, smoking Camels and Lucky Strikes, going, yes, this is good for you. Seriously, not a joke. Maybe you're not old enough to remember. I remember seeing those commercials, which is an indication of how young I am. Look at cigarettes, Agent Orange, DDT. These were just a few that became common knowledge after many people brought awareness forward about the dangers associated with these products. All the while, the companies who owned them and the cronies fought to claim these people were unscientific, liars, and just flat out wrong. Are we seeing this now with vaccines? I think that's a rhetorical question. Now, folks, it has been chalked up by many. Oh, it's this degree. It's just the quest for that money. No, there's a country club out there that is really hell-bent. On eliminating large swaths of populations on the face of this earth. I know it's kind of a stretch for most people's thinking, but I'm here to tell you, folks, just take a look at what's going on right now. Do you realize that, yeah, the coronavirus, it's out there. It's a virus. But you know what? There's still a couple of strains of flu making its rounds here in the United States. Colds and all that other stuff. All the other diseases are still out there. But yet we're all focused on this. This is a training exercise is what you're looking at. Capitulation of federal, state, and local governments. This is a conditioning psychological program. End of story.
Do Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Well, guess what else has popped up here? You know, the guy that made the statement, you know, about we need to get rid of about 3/4 of the people on the face of this planet. You know, the wonderful Bill and Melinda Gates. Or how about the UN? Or the CDC? John Hopkins? How about... They all plotted the coronavirus pandemic during December of 2019 at an event called Event 201 Global Pandemics. This was just the warm-up act, folks. This was to convince, get everything into place, scare the hell out of everybody. So the next time one of these possible pandemics that is going to destroy millions of lives comes forth, they'll all get in lockstep and do exactly what they're told. By the way, just so you know, the gyrations in the market, yeah, that was all caused by the coronavirus and the shutdown of everything. There's so many people being isolated. No, there's a pissing match between Russia and Saudi Arabia on the oil prices. Have you noticed? Which they're working on right now. Putin is talking to the Saudis, going, "Look. You guys got pissed off and you walked out the other day. You better come back to the table because this ain't going away." And I'm not telling you Please, don't misunderstand me. I'm not telling you that this coronavirus scare didn't interrupt some supply lines. But these are good little people snapping in line to do the right thing for the rest of humanity. See, these people are teaching us humanity. Are you paying attention? They're teaching you the loving way to deal with our fellow men. Don't discount that. Well, did you know that Bill and Melinda Gates, the CIA, the CDC, World Economic Forum, Bloomberg, John Hopkins, the UN Foundation and others actually held a summit which discussed specifically, ladies and gentlemen, not kind of, sort of, a specific scenario for the coronavirus pandemic in December of last year? It was called Event 201 Global Pandemic. And what I'm going to do here is I'm going to play this video for you, because I don't have the time to go out and snatch this gal to get her on the program. Okay, not yet, sweetie. She goes by Amazing Polly. And this presentation is exactly 29 minutes and 52 seconds long. And I've seen her before, and she's pretty spot on. So what we're going to do here, Mr. Producer, Snerdly, can I start calling you Snerdly since I'm taking over Rush Limbaugh's spot? Could you imagine, Mike, could you imagine if I had the opportunity to do that? Holy crap. In 5 minutes' time, I'd pop this country inside out. They'd have to send in the Willy Wet team after me. They couldn't get me out of there with dynamite. At any rate, I'm going to run this for you. Because she is doing, I could cut and paste, I could watch it and take some notes and come back and try to make you believe it's my words. Folks, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. I just know how to cut with what I've got, okay? And I'm damn good at it. But at any rate, we'll run this in its entirety, 29 minutes and 52 seconds. And I don't think this is interrupted by any commercial breaks, Mr. Producer, so you will not have a problem with this one. This is the Amazing Polly, and she's only got about roughly 200,000 subscribers. Polly, take it away.
This virus today, but I have to, because I don't really want to see them get away with their plan. I don't want their plan to work. And right now, it seems to be getting to sort of peak insanity about it. And if they're going to hang on to this narrative, this pandemic narrative, then I can predict the future. They're going to tell us that, you know, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people are dying around the world. And what they want in the end is they want governments to hand over control of that whole segment of their society, like the whole healthcare segment, really, to an international body, namely the World Health Organization. So we're going to talk about it today because I feel like we have to. Okay, what I've got to show you, a few things, a few clippings from the news, older news stories, older public announcements from different organizations. And then I'm going to show you clips from a conference that was held, a conference called Event 201. It was held in December 2019. And then at the end, I guess we'll just wrap up with a look at the Wuhan name story. Okay? I may think of other things as we go along to talk about. But as we go through this evidence that I'm going to show you, I want you to remember other videos I've done, especially the one called PsyOps Goes Mainstream, I think I put the title. In that, I talked about a company called SCL out of England who created fake news so that the fake news could be used to control the public. The Slate magazine article is called You Can't Handle the Truth. It is one of the most important news magazine articles that I think anybody can read to understand how the news operates these days. The news is just a great big marketing firm for globalism, in my opinion. And I think that this coronavirus thing is a part of it. Why do I say that? How can I be so sure? Haven't I seen the leaked video from China? People will ask me, yeah, I have, and I happen to know that China is on total internet lockdown. It has been for a long time. So ask yourselves how so many videos got snuck out, got leaked. How did that happen? Do you think? How did some doctor in the midst of dealing with a viral outbreak who was sick himself, how did he get around the internet firewalls and get his videos out? It's a good question. Maybe you need a little more convincing, so check this out from 2017. World Bank launches first ever pandemic bonds to support $500 million pandemic emergency financing facility. This is from June 28th, 2017. Bonds for a pandemic. The only reason they would do that is if they thought they were going to be able to make a lot of money off of pandemic sometime in the near future. And voila. You know, not very long after, not even 2 years after, not even a year and a half after, this all proves very fortuitous for the World Bank. And then there's something called Event 201. My friend over at Quite Frankly Podcast, great show, by the way, on YouTube, Frank broke this story as far as I know. Johns Hopkins Initiative hopes to better prepare for pandemics. This is from December 11th, 2019. And they talk about a team of experts at the Center for Security at Johns Hopkins University staging an exercise. They dreamed up doomsday scenarios. It says, for the most recent exercise called Event 201, which was held in New York City in October, the Center for Health Security partnered with the World Economic Forum and Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation to engage 15 leaders in business, government, and public health to model response to a worldwide coronavirus pandemic. It's something to take note of. We've got the Treasury bond, or the pandemic bonds from the World Bank, and now we have this exercise focusing on coronavirus, sponsored by all the usual suspects. Bill and Melinda Gates, the World Economic Forum, and more. It included representatives from the UN Foundation, United Nations, the World Bank, China's Center for Disease Control and Prevention, the Central Intelligence Agency, the U.S. Center for Disease Control, and other leaders from travel, banking, pharmaceutical, and healthcare services industries. Johns Hopkins, remember, sponsored this, hosted it. Johns Hopkins is closely associated with Bloomberg, Bloomberg News. Yep, that Bloomberg. All these guys participating in this exercise, this pandemic exercise. And look, from The Intercept, this woman says, when Bloomberg News' reporting on China was challenged, Bloomberg tried to ruin me for speaking out. All these people cozy with China, and China's the place we're getting the most propaganda about the disease. I just don't understand why so many people are believing everything that China is saying. Why would you do that? And when all the blue checks unite and they use the same language and they have the same level of fear-mongering, you should know by now that it's probably a propaganda operation. This is the event that they're talking about, Event 201. I won't bother to read this. It's just a description of why they're doing this pandemic planning exercise. But I do want to introduce you to a couple of the players involved in it. See, that's what they call them, by the way, because this is a doomsday scenario gaming session, basically, gaming it out. So they call them the players. One of the players is Timothy Grant Evans. He used to be at the World Bank, and that's the title they've given him for this pandemic planning meeting. They say Timothy Evans, formerly of the World Bank. He was also the Assistant Director General at the World Health Organization, Director of the Health Equality Team at Rockefeller Foundation, and assistant professor in international health economics at the Harvard School of Public Health. Sounds pretty swampy. We've also got this guy, Stephen C. Redd, who is at the Centers for Disease Control now, and he used to be in the military in the United States. And we have Matthew J. Harrington, Global Chief Operating Officer at Edelman, an industry-leading communications firm that partners with businesses and organizations to evolve, promote, and protect their brands and reputations. There's a lot of those guys floating around. And basically what he is a super glorified public relations guy. And he knows all the tricks of how to make sure a company's reputation stays intact. And I guess that would, basically he oversees messaging, right? He oversees messaging. And there were other people. There were other people at this thing as well, but I'm going to leave them out for now because, and the reason I introduced you to those three in particular is because I'm going to show you video clips from this event 201. They filmed the whole thing. They filmed everything they did. And they even have propaganda pieces that they put together to show during this scenario planning event. So I'll show you a little bit of those too. The first one that I wanted to show you is the opening statement from the rep from the World Economic Forum. Just have a listen.
And before we begin the exercise, I also want to introduce Ryan Morehard, who's lead of the Global Health Security Group at the World Economic Forum, and he will say a few words.
And good morning and welcome again on behalf of the Center for Health Security, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and the World Economic Forum. Welcome to Event 201. 201. Throughout our session today, I hope that number will represent two dimensions of our work to strengthen global health security. First, today, there are 200 epidemic events every year, and it hasn't always been this way. The number is increasing, driven by globalization, climate change, urbanization, deforestation, and other trends of our modern world.
Interesting that he said that globalization is largely to blame for increasing numbers of pandemics. It's astonishing they can stand there and defend their way of life, their insane push for globalizing everything, putting everything under central control and moving goods across the world instead of having things produced locally. And yet they say it's responsible for pandemics. We have more and more pandemics. Great. Sounds great. The next clip is from Tim Evans. He's from the World Bank. At the beginning, what he seems to be saying is, look, I'm getting impatient. We have these scenarios, we have these drills, we have these seminars, and nothing changes. You know, we need to go back and pressure people to get the financing, get the money for pandemic preparedness. It reminds me of the PNAC document, Project for a New American Century, prior to 9/11. They wrote that the only thing that will give them the policy changes they want is a new catalyzing event, like a new Pearl Harbor. That's what the words they used. And then months later, 9/11 happened, which was like a new Pearl Harbor. Well, you'll hear this guy, Timothy, say almost the same kind of thing, like, yeah, we talk big, but we never do anything. And then he says something really interesting towards the end, which I'll talk about when he finishes. Have a listen.
What I worry about is that these last two comments, which is everybody gets excited around a table like this in the moment, and then you move on, and it's back to business as usual. And it's this panicked and neglect problem that we have, which is very difficult to prospectively develop real preparedness. So I think there should be somewhere, maybe it's out of the GPMB, and a number of people here are the Global Preparedness Monitoring Board, there should be a time-bound plan with very clear targets with respect to what would constitute a new level of global preparedness. And we should look at what's required to get that financed in such a way that it's not purely, you know, the goodwill of everybody coming together occasionally because they're at Davos or they're in New York, but that it has some real accountability to agents that lie behind or are advocating for a stronger global governance, but a practical one.
So his big concern was finance. He wanted money. He wants every country to cough up to a central fund to finance this pandemic overseeing body, which will probably be the World Health Organization. And if you notice, what he said was, for those of us that lie behind, that advocate for increasing global governance. What does that mean? That means removing power from sovereign individual nations and giving it to a world body, giving it to a globalist organization. So you see, they hate Trump so much because he has said point blank on many occasions, we want nationalism, not globalism. And these guys are all about globalism and globalization. All right, here's the next clip.
The other thing I would just comment is that an event like this is going to be outside of the health sphere. And so it'll be really important that this not be seen as a health event, but really as a global crisis. And that
was Stephen Redd, the guy from the CDC. The guy from the CDC just said that a pandemic shouldn't be seen as a health event. You heard it with your own ears. You understanding my thesis that this isn't about, that these people don't care about health? The third clip, it has to do, it begins with a woman in the background. She's the moderator, and she says something like, do you want to take, do you have any thoughts on the data piece? And then the guy who talks goes off in a totally different direction. But I want to point it out because she asked a question that I've cut out. She says, you know, does we have this ability to gather data so quickly now and collate it and put algorithms to use to figure things out, track the spread and all of that. And she asks the whole panel that's there, what do you think about you how we can use data towards stopping the pandemic? And you know, it's crickets. They don't want to take it on. Why wouldn't they have thought of this? And why wouldn't they have invited somebody who's an expert on this? You would think with this technology that we have, we could at least use it to monitor the spread of the disease, right? They don't have anything to say about that. Wasn't part of their agenda. So just listen to the whole clip. Don't worry about the data thing, but do pay attention to the fact that the guy just says, yeah, that's important. I'm going to use it as a jumping off point to talk about something else. Okay? Just listen.
Those parts.
Any other thoughts on the data piece?
I think the data is critical, but I'll use that to segue to another area, if I may, which is the human resource. And a key actor, given that I now have moved to academia, but it is the academic or the training sector. Because if we're really going to develop a surge capacity for something like this, where you're going to have to bring in the reserves, the global health reserves in some respect, it requires an incredible coordination across training institutions.
So he's in academia now, after being at the World Bank and the World Health Organization before that. And he says, hey, we need to coordinate all the training facilities for healthcare providers so that they're on message, so that they know what the global body response to pandemics should be. I feel like saying, how dare he right now? Every country should be able to deal with these things locally. It's the local response that matters. And we're going to talk about the local response right now when we look at the next clip. This is Matthew Harrington from the PR firm Edelman. Just listen to what he has to say.
I wanted to follow up on the trusted voice idea. Yeah. I think everyone around the table spoke about how important it is to find those voices. Do we need to find them now and establish trust in those voices now so that when the crisis hits, people already have the established trust? Thoughts?
I mean, I would say without question, and because you're in a better position to build up that bank of goodwill in advance of a crisis. And I'm very intrigued and I think very heartened by the conversation about the identification of community and faith-based leaders in particular, because they do foster enormous trust at a local level. And that
Oh, he's very intrigued by the idea of approaching local community leaders and faith leaders because they have a whole bunch of trust built up. The public trusts them. I find that very sad and cynical. I suppose if I weren't so jaded, I might say, yes, that's a really good idea. You know, approach these people so that you have established a contact with them in advance. However, do you think they're just trying to get names and contact numbers? Or do you think that they're thinking more along the lines of, let's bring them to a bunch of seminars. Maybe we'll fly them over to Belgium for a week long or a month long training session, and then we'll deploy them out into their local communities. And then at times exactly like this right now, out there about talking about the virus, we can tell them what the message is. We can get in touch with them and tell them what to say. What do we want to hear them say? What do we want them to encourage people to do? Because people will trust them, right? And I don't know about you, but I am noticing people all over the place who, over the last few years, have built up some credibility with an audience in different areas, and they are non-stop fear-mongering about the coronavirus. Non-stop. It's just article after article, admonishment after admonishment, insult after insult, berating, fear, 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 fear. I wonder if some of these people haven't been contacted already in advance by organizations like this and asked if they wouldn't be one of these community leaders, community spokespeople. Okay, and finally, this guy that I'm about to show you, his name is Brad Connett, and he is from Henry Schein. Henry Schein is a medical device, a medical supply company. And he's a corporate guy. Apparently he was, and he'll say this in the clip, he's just a guest of the panel. He wasn't part of the planning committee and the actual gaming out scenario. And boy, in my opinion, it really shows that he's from a different milieu, a different mindset than the rest of them. Because, listen, I mean, what he says here blows me away because it exposes the panel, yet again. It exposes their agenda. Just listen to what he says.
Yeah. Similar lines, maybe, but in the spirit of kind of learning from history, in 1918, 16 million people died. It was more than the two great wars. And one of the impending results was a massive shortage of physicians, care providers. So I don't see that on the list. I don't have a solution. If you ask me what we do about it, that would be a subcommittee of this wonderful committee, which I'm only a guest of, so I'm not taking credit for it. But the shortage of physicians is looming anyway in the United States. I don't know about the broader world, but that's something should be considered in this. And second point I would only make is that if it really were catastrophic, I don't know if we're prepared for the civil unrest that could result in it. And we haven't really talked much about our public safety vehicles, not just public safety avenues ready, including military. Are they ready for such civil unrest if it were really to get out of hand? I don't see those in the recommended actions. That's all.
Astonishing. In this whole well-planned panel, put together by the World Economic Forum, the United Nations Foundation, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. There's people from the World Bank, CDC, couple of CDCs, China's CDC, the United States CDC, PR firms, communications experts, and people who have apparently been involved in disaster planning for decades or more. None of them thought about physician shortages or healthcare provider shortages. None of that didn't come up. As the guy says, I don't see that on your list. Wow. And also missing from the list is any talk of public safety or what to do about civil unrest that could result if this thing gets bad. What kind of experts are these? They're the kind of experts that have an agenda in mind. And that agenda was told to you right off the start by Timothy Evans. And that's to get financing for a world body to oversee the pandemic response. That's what it's all about. They don't really care about people. They just see a giant trough of money that they can always throw out there. They can always throw out some propaganda, some fear videos, clips that they can fake in their back rooms. And they can send out the message to all their subservient mainstream media talking heads. Look, tomorrow we're going to talk about the virus has got a hockey stick graph that it's spreading. It's going to spread to millions of people by a month from now. You notice them all saying the same thing? And by the way, this is a good place to revisit the whole point about the name of the virus changing all of a sudden. Look at a blue check. David Gura. For your information, calling COVID-19 the, quote, Wuhan virus is racist. Give me a break. They're going to see everything they don't like, they call racist so that we stop doing it. But it's wearing thin. People are done. I was looking online underneath these guys' videos, the Event 201 videos that they've posted on YouTube. Nobody's buying it. Nobody is buying their shenanigans. And look, David Gura happens to be from MSNBC and NBC News by way of Bloomberg TV. And another panelist at Event 201 happened to be Hasti Tagi from NBC News. She was on their panel. Hasti Tagi? What can we call our cool journalist girl that'll catch on with the young ones? Hashtag? Well, no, that's a little obvious. Okay, Hasti Tagi? What an unfortunate name if that name is real. I hope you guys see that this pandemic is brought to you by NBC, Bloomberg, China, the World Economic Forum, the World Bank, United Nations, CIA, and Bill and Melinda Gates. Event 201. Their pandemic planning exercise that they did in October 2019, that made it out in that article in December 2019, and then boom, it happens in real life. Just before we go, I want to play you a couple of clips of the fake news that they made on purpose to be played at Event 201. I just listen to it. Tell me if it doesn't sound like the real news right now.
Twitter and Facebook are reporting they've identified and deleted a disturbing number of accounts dedicated to spreading disinformation about the outbreak. For more on this, we go to our correspondent, Catalina Parks.
Chen, these accounts were created by several state-sponsored groups intending to sow political discord, and some individuals are seemingly seeking to gain financial advantages. Violence against healthcare workers and minority populations has been increasing. A recent riot highlights the real danger in these
posts. The task of identifying every bad actor is immense, and experts agree that new disinformation campaigns are being generated every day. This is a huge problem that's going to keep us from ending the pandemic and might even lead to the fall of governments, as we saw in the Arab Spring. If the solution means controlling and reducing access to information, I think it's the right choice.
The outcome of the CAPS pandemic in Event 201 was catastrophic. 65 million people died in the first 18 months. The outbreak was small at first and initially seemed controllable, but then it started spreading in densely crowded and impoverished neighborhoods of megacities. From that point on, the spread of the disease was explosive. Within 6 months, cases were occurring in nearly every country. The global economy was in a free fall. The GDP down 11%. Stock markets around the world plummeted between 20 and 40% and headed into a downward cycle of fear and low expectation.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but that is what they're saying is going to happen now, too. There's probably a real flu, but I just don't think it's anything to worry about. I think that if you get scared, then you're allowing them to get away with the plans that they want. You got to stop. I mean, what you do is of no consequence to them, but what's going to be of consequence to all of us is if we buy their game. And then we start joining in this chorus that says that the United States, under President Trump, is taking all the wrong actions. That could change the election. And we can't afford, the world can't afford, for Donald Trump to lose the next election, in my opinion. I know people don't like that, but the people that don't like that generally can't even put two and two together. I've just given you two and two. And does this equal four? It does to me. All right, I'm going to stop talking now. Thanks a lot for listening, everybody. I hope this has put your mind at ease a little bit. I hope it's given you something to think about. I'll leave some links in the description box so you can go and see some of this stuff for yourself. And also, I'm going to put a link to my paypal.me if you would like to help me continue to do this work. Say thank you to me. You can send me a financial contribution that way or send me a letter. Or cash check through the mail if you are so inclined. I love to get your gifts and notes and cards, and they're all up on a board in my living room. It's really great. Until next time, everybody, peace out.
Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store. or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.